In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
I find a good practice in reading the gospel is to put yourself in the story and all of the different people that appear in the story, the people that surround Jesus. In this story of Jesus washing the disciples' feet, I am 100% with Peter. I do not want anybody washing my feet. I don't want Jesus washing my feet or anybody else, not for the same reasons probably that Peter did. I'm just self-conscious. I don't want people focusing on my feet. So I can say this to you, my brothers, in chapter 11. If you feel the way I do, get over it. I want to see some of you coming up to have your feet washed. And if you don't, we're going to do pedicures in chapter 11 meetings until next Easter to get us over this. So much for volunteer. Years ago at Richmond Hill, Ben Campbell led a Bible study, a small one, where we would look at the gospel reading for the coming Sunday. And it was just sort of, we'd read the gospel and then we'd just talk about it among ourselves. It wasn't a prescribed lesson. And over the course of that year, what stood out for me in these gospel readings and discussions were not so much the words of Jesus, but just the visual background, the visual aspect of the story is what became prominent in my mind, and it was noticeable. For years, I had sort of focused on the fine print of the gospel and the sayings and the teachings and all of that stuff. But this reading, I was just conscious of seeing it. Seeing the birth, seeing the baptism, seeing the transfiguration, seeing Gethsemane. Not so much seeing the crucifixion. I think that was just a little bit beyond my ability to focus on. But seeing Mary come to the tomb and the Jesus appearing to her. And it began to sort of plant this idea in my mind of what would it be like to have a silent movie of Jesus' life where you heard none of the words, you just saw his movement through the landscape, his actions. And I think it sort of changed and deepened my appreciation for the gospel, the meaning of the gospel. And Andrew and I were talking not too long ago about something theological involving the atonement, and I just realized that I think God's deepest messages to us are not in words at all. They're not in anything that you could put into a teaching. They're communicated in acts, simple acts. And you don't have to understand them. You don't have to be able to talk about them or explain them. What we're designed to do is just experience them. Just experience them. To feel them. This one of Jesus washing the disciples' feet is one of those acts. And I think, as I've been working on trying to figure out what to say, all of my words seem to diminish it. So I would just suggest to you that you read it, that you just read it and let it sink in. And try to imagine it. And don't try to understand what it means or what he's teaching us, but just simply to feel it. What would it be like? As I was preparing this for this sermon tonight, this morning, I was sitting in a chair with my feet up, and I tried to do just that, just to imagine Jesus walking into the room and taking off my shoes and my socks, and washing my feet. And I couldn't. couldn't do it. It was too much for me. Just like Peter, it was just too much love. And as I sat there and thought about it, and wondered, well, what am I going to say tonight? And what does this, what is happening in this room? Jesus with these men that have been following him for 3 years through thick and thin. They've been living together. They've been eating together. They've been walking down dusty roads together. They've had their lives threatened together. They have been through a lot. And Jesus knows that his hour is coming to leave them. And he takes up a towel and a bucket of water and he washes their feet. I don't really know what it means, but an image came to mind. It's an image of one of the great gifts that God has given me in my life, and it was a friendship. It was a friendship with a man named Joe. And it came, he came, we crossed paths at a church that I was in, and we started playing tennis together. And it was intensely competitive, and I usually was on the losing end of this thing, but we would talk. And I discovered in this man somebody that I could talk to, just simply talk to, in very real ways. He understood. He was a therapist. He wasn't my therapist, but he was a therapist and a very good one. And I was in a place at that point in time where God and my life were not lining up or making sense. And I don't want to go into too many details about that. They're not important. But I really didn't have anybody to go to or to talk or be real with, because I couldn't even be real with myself, because I was trying very hard to be what I thought God wanted me to be. And I was completely clueless about who I really was inside. And I was falling apart. And Joe was a place that got that. And I could talk to him. And he could talk to me. And we did. And he, it just grew. It wasn't one of these situations where I made myself say anything that I didn't want to. We just saw each other. And we were real with each other. And gradually we went deeper and deeper into what was going on in the center of our lives. And every time I told him something, he understood. And he spoke the truth back to me, always. And he spoke it in grace, always. And it wasn't always saying I was doing the right thing. He would call me on stuff when I needed it. And I would call him on stuff when he needed it. But we were friends, honest to goodness, real friends. And that friendship enabled me and gave me the courage to look at not just God, but myself, and come to some decisions and make some changes that I desperately needed to make that scared me to death. What was happening in that friendship was he was seeing my dirty feet. And our friendship washed them. It just happened that way. Joe died about 5 or 6 years ago. And had he needed me to wash him or bathe him or do any of these things that happen to you when you are sort of nearing death, I would have done it gladly. And he would have hated it. And he would have told me so. But he would have accepted it. Because he would have wanted to do the same thing to me, for me, and I would have hated it and told him so and surrendered to him just the same way. I didn't have to do that with him. I did a little bit with my dad before he died, and those are precious moments for me when I could take care of him physically. Nobody wants to be in this situation, but it comes with the deal. We have dirty feet. We have physically dirty feet, and our souls have dirty feet. And we can't always clean them up by ourselves. We can't always take care of them by ourselves. And I think Jesus saw that, and he washed these disciples' feet because they were his friends. They were his good friends. And he knew they needed it, and he knew that they wouldn't understand, and he knew that it would be difficult for them, but he knew that it would plant an idea in them, a sacramental idea in them, that would change them forever, just as my friendship with Joe changed me. So what I'm, at least in this reading, think that this story is all about is just this simple, beautiful, astonishing fact that God wants to be our friend, an honest-to-goodness friend. Think of the best friend in your life, the best friend that you have ever had. And then try to imagine Jesus in that role too. Talking to him that way, sharing those things with him, hearing back from him in that same way. I think that's what the story is about. This whole passage begins with Jesus saying, having loved his own, he loved them to the end. And then he says, a new commandment I'm giving you. You should love each other as I've loved you. That's how the world is going to know that I sent you. When you have that kind of relationship that we have had here with one another. So, it's not easy, but we've all got dirty, stinking feet. Get over it. And let God love you. And let's love one another. Because that's really, really what the world is looking for.